Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He is one of the MCSEs at Tab Computer Systems. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And we're going to be here until 11 o'clock this morning. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. If you're listening on the stream at radio.com, feel free to call in. We love to pay the freight. Again, 800-966-WTIC from anywhere in the country. And we got some technology news, as we always do. This has kind of cracked me up. Japan has a new head of security, Bob. His last name is Sakudora, and he arrives at the prime minister's official residence. And it turns out this new cybersecurity minister, believe it or not,
doesn't know anything about computers.
Not even that. He's never even used a computer even once.
I was reading that article, but I didn't print it. I thought it was so ironic.
This is the Japanese cybersecurity minister who has never, in his 68 years of human life, touched a computer. He's got people for that. Now, the folks in the Japanese
but he's in charge.
Lawmakers, yeah, are starting to get a little concerned. You know, since I was 25 years old and independent, I've instructed my staff and secretaries. I have never used a computer in my life, he says. Now, when a lawmaker expressed astonishment that someone who's never used a computer would be in that job, Sakudora reportedly said, "It's a matter that should be dealt with by the government as a whole. I am confident that I am not at fault." In other words, don't blame me. I just work here. And then another lawmaker asked him about whether Japanese nuclear power stations used USB drives. Sakudora had no idea. He said the specialists would be able to answer that. Now, the funny thing is, here in Connecticut, we have the same situation.
Yeah.
Again, lovely gentleman who's our cybersecurity czar, but he's just a bureaucrat. Doesn't have any cybersecurity experience, but we have that type of person here in Connecticut. And from what I understand, news at 11, 9 out of 10 Connecticut legislators have never bounced a checkbook.
Well, you know, I've always said in government, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Unbelievable. You cannot be the head of a cybersecurity anything and never touch a computer or, again, let alone, not have some cybersecurity expertise. Please.
So how do you direct your staff
to secure
in a direction,
something?
Any direction.
Yeah.
You know, if you know nothing.
If you're just a bureaucrat, you're clueless.
I mean, you don't even know the first thing. You've never been behind a keyboard.
That just sounds like government to me. What else you got, Bob? Anything interesting?
Oh, I got so much that, you know, I got the whole bench here full.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my first one is Apple adapter bites the dust.
Ah, there we go. We got that music queued up for you there, Matt. How are you sleeping this morning?
Queen guitarist Brian May explodes. Another one bites the dust.
Yeah. So he's upset.
Okay. He says, I quote, "My love for Apple is turning to hatred," the musician writes, after his USB-C adapter hits a sour note. They have a picture of it here. You got to go see it.
It's like smashed.
Even rock stars have tech gripes. Famed musician Brian May, who co-founded the band Queen in 1970, published a long, detailed complaint. about Apple USB-C connectors to his Instagram account on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And just as with his music, May struck a popular chord. He's now being May, who's now being portrayed by Gwilym Lee in the film Bohemian Rhapsody, posted a photo of a bent connector.
Yep.
Okay, and there is a nice photo there.
This is a piece of junk these guys are selling.
This is one of the reasons my love for Apple is turning to hatred.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on in his little blurb.
Tirade.
Well, he's explaining that they had the lightning adapter, which was held in magnetically, which
is cool.
Beautifully. And if, you know, you did something and pull it out and it didn't damage the cable.
Right.
Now, you got to go out. And then they went with an industry standard. Let's make that clear.
Yeah. Which is kind of nice. Everything should be industry standard. So you don't have all these weird adapters everywhere.
Yeah.
Mini HDMI, USB-C, lightning. Well, Apple makes all their money on $25 adapters.
Yeah.
Well, and he's kind of complaining about it. He's like, I'm tired of it. This is a multi-million gazillionaire.
It costs him 25
musician.
Cents yeah, or less.
Well, to him, yeah, he's saying, oh, I'm sick of buying all these adapters from Apple. This is kind of refreshing.
Well, you know what? It isn't even that you buy all the adapters.
Yeah.
It's you got to keep track of which adapter works for what.
I know.
Because they're not all the same.
No.
So anyway, he went on a tirade about that.
Huge amount of response.
Yeah. And he got more than 42,000
likes.
Yeah. Okay, in just 2 hours.
Unbelievable.
So yeah, if he's becoming disenfranchised or disenchanted.
Disenchanted
with the Apple because of their connector solution
quality. In other news, NASA is going to conduct an invasive, in quotes here, safety review of SpaceX after Elon Musk's public weed use. So NASA will be investigating SpaceX safety culture, along with that of its rival Boeing, in a strenuous review prompted by Elon Musk's public public display of pot smoking. Now, in fairness, they're going to also, look at Boeing just to make sure they're not having a bunch of folks smoking weed.
They're going to audit their drug policy, in other words, make sure that they're not. Oh, man.
Yeah,
we're having a good time here, man.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Well,
and now in Massachusetts with everything, you can go get weed anywhere you want. I mean, it's going to be a problem here in Connecticut, too.
The CNET article I had, they had a nice picture of Elon.
I know.
He's puffing on
sparking up his doobage on a
blunt. Yeah, there you go.
So, but we'll see what happens. I'm sure SpaceX will come out in the clear that they're fine. They just do it on the weekends or on podcasts
or when they want to get creative.
Right. What else you got?
Okay. SpaceX wins FCC approval to put over 7,000 satellites into orbit.
That's a lot of space junk, but.
SpaceX got the green light to send more satellites to space. The Federal Communications Commission on Thursday approved SpaceX's request to build, deploy, and operate over 7,000 satellites in the very low Earth orbit. SpaceX will also have more frequency bands added to its previously authorized satellites, according to the FCC's release. The company's Starlink program is designed to use satellites at a much lower orbit, improve internet connectivity on the ground, even in rural and remote places with little or no internet access. The approval on Thursday gives SpaceX flexibility to provide high-speed broadband coverage for more areas in the U.S. and worldwide.
There we go.
The licenses also require that SpaceX satellites be deployed within 9 years.
That's awesome.
So, it goes on. There's a lot more detail here, but it's a worthwhile article, I think.
Well, hopefully, if they're not smoking dope, they'll be fine. I mean, time flies when you're smoking dope.
Do satellites smoke dope?
Let's hope not. But I'm actually looking forward to that. I mean, having some alternatives to what's out there.
Yeah, then they don't have to fight for that 1 foot on the pole.
Exactly. That 1 foot on that 40-foot piece of wood in the ground there. What else you got, Bob?
NASA schedules historic first flight of SpaceX Crew Dragon.
Another SpaceX story.
Oh, yeah. I just put them off the top of the line because we were talking off air before the show.
Yeah.
The 3-person crew capsule will be sent to orbit atop a Falcon 9 rocket on January 7th.
Nice. This is to see if it's going to work.
NASA is poised to get one step closer to launching humans from the U.S. for the first time in 8 years with the news. An uncrewed test flight of SpaceX Crew Dragon will take place on January 7th.
Nice.
The Crew Dragon which can seat three astronauts, will be unpiloted on its first test flight and then will undergo an in-flight abort test sometime before its first crew flight in June.
Nice.
So provided everything goes to plan, earlier this month, NASA astronauts Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley, I hope I pronounced them right, were kitted out in SpaceX spacesuits. You know, we had articles on that, learning the ins and outs of the Crew Dragon. Yep. They will be the first two astronauts to test the new spacecraft.
Nice.
Okay, and that's going to take place at NASA's Kennedy Space Center. So that's pretty interesting.
It is. It is.
And that'll be the first time since 2011 that the U.S. will be able to put send astronauts up to the space station because we've been...
Russian rockets, right?
What do you call that? Farming it out to the Russians.
Hitchhiking with the Russians.
Yeah. And they've been using the occasion to kind of...
poke fun at this?
No, interfere with our elections.
Oh, right, right.
So we can't cut them off.
Thankfully, you know, astronauts are... They're not political. In other news, you might have seen an email from Amazon. They somehow exposed a lot of people's users' email names, names and emails, and they might have sent you this kind of weird message that looked really unprofessional, kind of saying, "Yeah, you know, we had an issue here, and nothing you have to change, no passwords were lost, you don't have to change your password, everything's okay here." And the email message had a weird, like a capital A for Amazon and a weird unnecessary link. So it really looked like a phishing email, but it was legitimate. So even Amazon hasn't figured out how to properly warn folks about any kind of things they've done when it comes to cybersecurity. They really need to work on that, I think. And they've also recalled just a few months ago, or actually in the same month, in October, for finding that Chinese folks were paying people who actually reviewed products. They were actually trying to find those folks so that they could bribe them to give them better reviews. So internal Amazon people were being hit up by these third parties who sold stuff on Amazon. And they're saying, "Hey, look, you know what? We need you to send over these email contacts of these people who are reviewing our products and giving us bad reviews." So they would get, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 over to the Amazon employee, who then gave that person's contact information to the third party who reviewed the product poorly. And then the third party, that same seller, would try to convince the guy who gave the bad review to take it back. You know, don't tell people that I got a bad product here. So the moral of the story is, make sure you rate all the products poorly so someone can bribe you into changing your review.
Maybe you can get enough money to actually pay for the product and then get it for free.
Seems like there's a whole market there. But we'll put a link up here for Amazon's woes. We got to get out, take a quick break here. We've got Bill, Mike, and Stefan. One line open for you. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Everything we talk about will be posted by Mike G. live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. That's the name of the show.com, which also works if you go to Facebook and like us on Facebook through Tab Computer Systems. It'll get into your newsfeed. We'll be right back. And we're back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And hopefully you weren't out there shopping that Friday. It must have been just crazy.
I went shopping Friday.
Did you really?
Oh, it was crowded, but... You know, none of the things that I bought, they were all things I wanted.
Were they on sale?
None of them.
None of them?
None of them.
Well, they got your number, huh? All right, let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Bill and Wolcott first. Morning, Bill.
Hey, morning, guys.
Morning. What's going on?
Question for you.
Yeah.
I'm out shopping for a laptop for my wife.
All right.
It's usually mostly for pictures.
Okay.
She's a big scrapbooker and stuff.
Nice.
So, I'm looking, and I haven't shopped for a laptop in about 10 years. So,
okay.
I see AMD has a new Ryzen chip. They got the new 8th generation Intels. Well, what should I be looking for? I want a 17-inch monitor.
Yep. You got to find, I would stick with Intel. 8th gen is a nice processor. 9th is out, but 8th is still out there and very, very powerful. We're not big AMD fans. However, we actually considered using AMD just recently in our machine builds only because Intel couldn't get their processors out. They underestimated the demand because, just as you know, the CPU, the PC has been dying or predicting its demise for the past 23 years that we've been on the show. And turns out Intel finally believed it this year and actually produced less processors than the demand and it couldn't meet the demand.
Don't they look at their own sales numbers?
I don't know. It's been crazy. But the 8th gen, if you can find them, 17-inch, I like HP. If you want to pick up a laptop, but there's plenty of them out there. But AMD, yep. They're up there too, and they're a good alternative.
How about the new solid-state drives compared to the regular hard drives?
Oh, if you get a solid-state, your wife will love you for it.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
I was reading something where sometimes you can put the processor on a solid-state, like the operating system on a solid-state.
Yeah.
But still have a... is that something you request, as far as your build? Or
well, in a laptop, you're just going to have the one drive, right, Bill? You're not getting a two-drive laptop. So you will, by default, have the operating system on the solid-state by default. And then the key here, though, is solid-state drives are generally are smaller, right? So maybe a half a terabyte or a quarter of a terabyte. You might find that she's going to need more drive space, which is fine because you should back up her pictures.
Right. Yeah. She has a terabyte, external drive that I got her to save everything on. So.
All right. So then, have it on the solid state drive. It'll boot up in seconds and
get another bigger.
Yeah, another backup drive. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay.
But that's
another
the way
question.
To go. Yeah.
We have an older Toshiba, 17 inch. It's about an i3 processor.
Oh gosh, why?
Yeah, well, it still works. She, that's what she's currently using now.
Oh, my
but
gosh.
This thing is slower than molasses.
Oh, it's an i3.
Well, I know, but...
It's like a hamster on a wheel.
I know, but we're talking it still takes like a minute and a half, 2 minutes to boot up and everything else. Is there something that could be slowing it down?
Yeah, the processor.
The processor, the technology.
Yeah, I know.
Just retire it, Bill. How long have you had that thing?
7-8 years.
Oh my gosh! The fact that it served you that long is amazing. Good for you.
I'm still using a Vista.
Oh brother! Oh, you're one of those guys.
Well,
no, retire that thing.
HP, it works.
Yeah. i3. You're not going to pay any money to improve a 7 or 8 year old i3 system.
Right.
And they generally should be outlawed, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. But believe it or not, you can still buy Celeron and Pentium processors.
Yeah.
So. i3 has its usages. Maybe a kiosk to order a Big Mac.
Right. I know, but the thing is, it's still a good computer. Besides that, it's slow and everything else. It still works great, and that's it's hard to just use it as a doorstop now.
Well, it's an oxymoron to say if it works great. It depends on how much your time is worth.
Then if you think it's great, you shouldn't be complaining about the speed
of it, right? Yeah.
All right, Bob, enough, okay?
It's like my kid, I tell him to mow the lawn. How long does it take him to mow the lawn? Well, it gets done. It takes hours. But it's the same idea. All
okay,
right, Bill?
Guys. You got it. Thanks, bud.
All right, good luck. All right, bye-bye. i3 processors. But believe it or not, they're still selling.
Yeah, that's the equivalent of a Celeron.
Yeah, I know. So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock on this Saturday morning. Feel free to get online. Bob and I are here live, and we're going to be here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get on there. We got Mike and Stefan. Everything we've talked about has been posted live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com by Mike G. And... it'll get into your news feed if you like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, and Mark Zuckerberg deems the newsworthy. Some of it he may not approve of, considering, but hopefully most of it gets into your news feed. And of course, if you follow us on Twitter over at Tab Computer Sys, it'll get into that feed as well. We'll be right back.
Criticism where? From where?
Outside. Noise.
From where?
Twitter, radio.
Yeah. Oh, I give a rat's ass about Twitter. It's a platform for people that are sitting home trolling an unemployment check, sitting in front of a keyboard.
It's so funny. Oh, you gotta let Mike Gundy.
I'm disregarding what you're saying. Trust me, I get it at my own house. But I just kind of felt like that social media and Twitter is what's destroying this country anyway. So that's how I feel about it, from politics to sports to whatever. It gives people a platform to. And then other people are like needling it, and they're sitting at home and they're late on a payment. So anyway, that's how I feel.
Mike Gundy, I think I saw him actually say that live. My son and I were watching probably ESPN, and I'm not sure where we saw it, but it was he just went off on Twitter. So if you didn't catch that, one of the reporters asked him about the criticism he was receiving on Twitter. He's like, Twitter? I can't even make the sound he made, but every time my son and I play it, we keep cracking up. It's just crazy. But we'll put the link up there for that video for you so you can play it as often as you like. And I kind of agree with that. I mean, social media is becoming ridiculous. You know, like you said, it's just people sitting in there under it just commenting about whatever. And do you have time to care what all these people are thinking on Twitter? Do I really care? I don't really care.
I know people that spend time in the wee hours of the morning on Twitter and Facebook.
Right.
And then the next day, they complain how tired they are.
All right, let's get back to you. Let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Mass. Mass. It's going to be Mike out there in Holland, Mass. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I really enjoy your show.
Thanks.
Thanks for putting it on. I look forward to listening to it every week.
Well, thank you very much. It's our pleasure.
About a month ago, you had a call from somebody that had Windows 7 was running out of disk space.
Okay.
And I thought, you know, for the heck of it, I checked mine, and lo and behold, I was almost out of disk space also.
Well, you didn't get a warning yet, huh?
And I hadn't gotten a warning.
All right.
But I couldn't figure out what was causing it. I put up the directory tree software that you recommended, and I looked, and I really couldn't figure out what it was. But I did finally figure it out, and it was something I'd never, ever heard of before.
Right.
Or shadow storage.
Oh, shadow storage. Okay, it's kind of a backup technology.
Yeah, and I had like 60 files out there, and it was sucking up about two-thirds of my hard drive.
Wow. You cleared it off and called it a day, and you're back in business?
Yeah, I cleared it off, called it a day, and I'm back in business.
All right. Oh, well, that's Microsoft saving you from you, because, again, it's a bit of a backup.
Yeah,
I think your settings are set too high, because you can set a percentage.
Right, a lower percentage.
I did that. I looked at the settings, and it was set for unrestricted.
Ooh, it went crazy on you.
I don't know how that ever got set that way. It's not something I did. It must have been something that Microsoft did at one point or another.
Yeah, some update they decided that they would make sure that you're protected, Mike, and set it to whatever they wanted.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Why not? Sells hard drives.
Exactly. Well, I don't think they're in the same business.
No, they're not. But I just thought, you know, if
they
could turn out, you know, help somebody else maybe.
I appreciate the call, Mike.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Good work.
All right, we will.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yep, sometimes those tools that are there to save you cause you trouble.
You always got to check.
Right. Let's go on to Stefan in New Britain. Hey, Stefan, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I tried joining the modern computing age. I went out and I bought a laptop.
All right. Congratulations.
Yeah, I just want to run it by you. It's got a Intel Core i5 7th generation processor.
Okay, a little older.
I know, but it was cheaper.
That's fine. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, a 1 terabyte hard drive.
Nice.
Let's see, 8,192 megabytes of SODIMM DDR4.
Yeah, 8 gigs of RAM.
SD RAM.
Yeah.
I've got Windows 10 Home Edition.
That's well, Home is proper for you.
And I have, let's see, the hard disk spins at about 52.
A little slower.
RPM. I know. But I figure it's a start into the modern computing age.
Yeah, how much did it cost you?
Moving up from XP, about $400.
No, that's not good. It's a good deal. It's inexpensive. There you go.
Yeah, and I had to wait out in the cold, too.
Did you really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But I'm just wondering, the i5, is there a difference between the i5-45 and i5 7th Gen?
Well, yeah, basically the i5 processor is going to have a few different families within that i5 processor, but a 7th Gen is just the last processor they did. They're up to the 9th just came out, but the 8th is the most popular right now. So you're fine. I mean, for $400, you can't sneeze at that, except for you're out in the cold and you might sneeze a little bit.
Yeah, and it does have an optical drive in it. And
yep.
I could add a solid-state drive to this.
Well, you could, but you got to pull the hard drive out, put the new solid state in, and you're going to spend about $300 on that, and I wouldn't spend that.
Yeah, so that's not going to happen then.
No.
It's not going to happen.
You should have just bought one with one in the first place, because you would have been at that price point anyways.
Yeah, but doing that, I would have probably had to trade the optical drives.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't happen to see the optical drives on it. I mean, they did have a couple for sale that were similar.
Yeah.
I wasn't really going to stick with the Asus or something like that. I wanted to go with something that was a bit more well-known.
Okay.
You know, but I think it would be a good start. You think
it's a good start. Right. Yeah, enjoy it, man. Let us know how you do.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for checking in, Stefan.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Stefan in New Britain's out there with a new machine.
I've noticed that a lot of laptops that come with SSDs,
yeah,
typically they don't put a optical drive in it.
Right.
And that's fine because you don't use it that often.
Not anymore.
I mean, I'm a tech and I don't use it very often.
No, you can load software. You can download a lot of it. Let's go on to Rick in Nugatuck. What's going on there, Rick?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Two questions.
Okay.
One is the proverbial open DNS. Sometimes when I go to check, I take my laptop to different locations, and so I have installed it on the laptop itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then also one of the other locations, I did install it on the actual home router.
Nice.
Having said that, I noticed that occasionally I still get a window that will pop up on the desktop that says I am not connected. But yet, when I go to my network properties and check, I notice that the DNS servers report, at least in the top of it, still says it's the 208, 67222, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then I would go to their website, to test it.
Yep.
And they'll have that, one where it says, it's blocked or not blocked, and if it doesn't seem, you go to internetbadguys.com, I think it was. Anyway, long and short of it is I seem to be getting, mixed. Sometimes I seem to be connected, sometimes I'm not. So which one do I believe, my
both
network properties report or
both
their website, so forth?
Both. It's both. Yes, because here's what the issue is, right? So you've got the properties in there, and it means you're using OpenDNS's DNS, which is a great thing to do. But when you're in a different network, right, you can actually configure Rick from Naugatuck's preferences. You can say Rick doesn't want any adult websites, Rick doesn't want any of whatever you want to configure. And if you're in a different network, OpenDNS can't find you unless you have the IP updater. So it's not going to be able to apply your preferences if you're in a different network without the IP updater to say, here's Rick's preferences. However, you are protected.
So the network is showing that he's got a triangle with an exclamation point.
Right.
Okay. And this is common with the DNS, OpenDNS, when you have their application. I see it all the time. There's two things you can do, and I'll try to find an article so we can post it. But one thing you can do to get rid of that, it says that you don't have the internet, but you can still browse the internet.
Well, no, he's talking about OpenDNS.
Right.
Right.
You're not having an internet browser issue.
No,
right?
But the system will tell you that you can't reach the internet when, in fact, you can.
Okay.
I mean, I see this all the time.
All right.
So a quick fix is to disable your NIC and re-enable it, and it comes back up and everything's fine.
Well, that's quick, yeah.
Now, it's basically giving you a false negative.
Right, but he's getting a warning about whether or not OpenDNS's preferences are being applied when he's in a different network. And that's because he doesn't have the IP updater saying, this is Rick and I'm over here. Here are my preferences. Please follow
me.
That's the error he's getting. He's not getting an internet issue.
Right.
But that is correct.
You are getting the exclamation point, right?
No. I will get the window that will pop up that says, you are not connected to OpenDNS, that type of thing.
It's the safety thing. So
okay.
The idea being, though, you're right about your DNS. You are being more protected when you surf, but because you're in a different network and OpenDNS doesn't know you're there because you don't have the IP updater running, it can't apply your specific rules. So if you applied any specific rule saying, I don't want to have any adult websites or I don't want to have any whatever, those rules can't follow you in the different network. But when you're in your home or native network, then it can. But you're still protected, right? You're still going to be protected with the when you run the DNS IPs, no matter where you are. But if you add the little IP updater, you can then incorporate your preferences along with that.
Okay, so I guess I'm a little confused with the when you say the from the IP address. So, for example, my IPv4 address is not the OpenDNS
No, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be. So the the IP updater is a way for OpenDNS to know where you are. And this is not a spy tool. This is just so that they can say, Rick is in a different network. So when you're on your home network and you're in a Cox, let's say you're in a Cox Internet, you're going to be pinging back to OpenDNS that you're from Cox, right? And so they're going to know, okay, that's Rick, and here's where he is, and I'm going to give him his preferences. But you go to Bob's house, and he's on Comcast, let's say. Well, OpenDNS doesn't know that you're there, all right? And your preferences won't follow you unless you have the little IP updater, which comes along with OpenDNS. You can go ahead and download it. If you load that on your computer, then the IP updater is going to say to OpenDNS, hey, I'm Rick, I'm over here now. And they'll be like, oh, okay, then your preferences will follow you. Without the IP updater, it won't.
So then it sounds like I do not have this IP updater, and
correct.
I need to get that or should get that.
You could, yes. If you have any specific RIC requirements when you're outside the network that you want to apply to yourself, that's what you would do.
Okay, I do not, actually. I don't have.
Then it doesn't matter.
Okay. So the fact that I have it on my laptop pretty much covers me regardless.
It does.
Obviously, on the home network, which I have on the router, I'm good to go there as well.
You are.
Right. Okay. Along with anybody else tying into that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm clear on that. Last question, if you don't mind, is I also live in an area where there's literally no cell service.
Mm.
Now I do run it through the Wi-Fi if need be.
Yep.
However, obviously, other people that I cannot unless I give them the password or whatever, so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've considered one of these cell signal boosters that are out on the market. Do you have any feeling for those? Do you have any experience or knowledge base? And then, if so, along with that, since we seem to be going to the 5G networking in the future, does that make a purchase nowadays essentially obsolete once that 5G is rolled out?
Depends on your service, right? If you're running a Verizon and you get a cell booster for them, then you're going to only help people who come to your house with Verizon. If you get an AT&T booster?
No. Nope, sorry to interrupt you, but that's not what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. They do sell and make, maybe you're just not familiar with it.
I'm not.
It's okay. They do make cell signal boosters that essentially grab any cell service that comes in to your house or to the area and boost that, any service that's coming through.
I'm not aware of it. Then you should check it out. How much are they?
About a grand.
Oh, gosh. Do you care about your friend's cell service that much?
Well, yeah. The idea is that essentially for example, I have AT&T and I do have their microcell,
yeah,
which is all well and fine, but of course its range is limited. So once I go outside of my house,
right,
I pretty much have no cell service.
Yeah.
So hence, with one of these boosters, I was considering,
yeah,
if I put one of those in, then at least it might broaden my service outside. But I'm not about to spend $1,000 and then do the hardware, the installation,
right,
of it. Anyway, if you guys aren't familiar.
We're not, but are you, Bob?
Yeah, I've seen that. And some of our clients have that. And when they're in areas where the cell service is very low.
And they do it for any cell
service?
Yeah,
basically it kind of runs a wire outside.
Hmm.
And it also ties into the internet.
And it does work?
It works.
Well, there you go.
It does a great job.
We can also throw it out to the listeners if they tried it, see if they've got any experience.
Yep. Is there any particular model or brand that you can suggest or recommend?
The ones that I've seen have all been provided by the cellular provider. They all offer them.
They're specific? They're all going to be specific?
Well, they're not specific. Yeah. They're name brand, but,
But they're specific for the Verizon provider or the AT&T provider.
The ones that I've seen, it said AT&T or it said Verizon.
Yeah, that's not what I'm looking for. Do make it, I'm looking at one, for example, right now online that, speaks of it, but they also talk specifically about 3G and 4G LTE networks. Now, if we're going with the 5G, then is that, pretty much bone for...
Well, it wouldn't make it obsolete because I'm sure 3G and 4G is still going to broadcast, but... we're all waiting for 5G coming down the pike.
Right.
So
Okay.
All depends on how important it is to you, Rick, I guess.
Exactly.
All right, guys.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Thanks for the expertise. Appreciate it. Take care.
Yep, you too. Bye-bye. We're going to step out for a quick break. Hank and Ellen, hang on. Two lines open for you. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Two lines open. Feel free to get online. Bob and I are here live. So we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And let's get to Ellen in Coventry next. Hey, Ellen, what's up?
Hi. I have a Leno desktop running on Windows 10.
Right.
And I want to know what you think is the best way to protect it from viruses, malicious software, hackers, and anything else I should protect it from.
All right. The best way, truly, is to turn it off.
But, what?
But, of course, that doesn't make any sense long term. So you want to do two things. You want to run OpenDNS. So you want to run your configuration through OpenDNS that we talk about all the time.
Right, and you just that's something you can download for free.
Yeah, it's not even a software or anything. It's just settings in your network configuration that you put in, and instead of being on the wild wild west of internet, you're going to go through a more secure internet. And that's just step one.
So how do you do that?
We have links all over our website at computertalkwithtab.com for you that you can follow the instructions. Very easy. So okay. We'll put that for you, and then the other piece of it is to have a good antivirus program. And
so the OpenDNS takes care of the malicious software and the hackers.
It takes care of a lot of that because it keeps you, the user, because that's why turning off the computer is so effective. It keeps you less apt to find yourself in a bad area of the internet that's going to download those things to your system. So with OpenDNS in place and you try to go ahead and surf who knows what. I mean, in the old days, Britney Spears, if you surfed for Britney Spears, you would have found yourself inundated with viruses and malware. And that's just because the bad guys knew so many folks would search for her that they would deliver the malware to your systems. But OpenDNS is going to say, well, you're welcome to search for Britney Spears, but we're only going to let you go to the most legitimate sites that won't deliver malware. So by being an OpenDNS, it keeps you off or keeps you a little more safe while you're surfing. And then if you do still get infected, which does occur, you then need to have a good antivirus program. Webroot is a good antivirus program that we recommend.
Webroot. Root. Mm-hmm. O-R-O-U-U-T-E.
W-E-B-R-O-O-T.
R-O-O-T. Webroot.
Webroot.
And you can get that off your website as well?
Yeah, we'll put a link for you.
Okay.
And those two things minimally in place should give you a better way to be protected. And, of course, you want to go to your internet service provider, whoever's giving you your email address, and turn on all your spam protections that you can turn on for your mailbox so that you'll get less junk that you're going to be apt to click on.
Yeah, they're pretty good about that.
Good.
In a year that I've had this, I've only had one spam.
Wow. That is good. That is good.
Well, because it's a new account and everything.
I guess, yeah. Well, it's good. I mean, so.
And I'll just put a plug in. It's from Cox.
All right. So good. So you get those things going. Those are the basic minimums. And then just be careful where you go on the internet.
Yeah, I don't use it much.
Oh, that's see, well, there it is. You turn it off.
but I went to Amazon to order something.
Yeah.
And it said that I'd never ordered anything before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, I've got to create an account.
Right.
And they said, you can't create an account. You already have one.
Uh-oh.
So that was a red flag.
Hmm.
So then they said, so I said, okay. I forgot my password.
Right.
Which is not true, but I said that anyway.
Of course.
And so then they gave me a code through my email.
Yep.
And then I tried to put the code in. And it says it's the wrong code.
Oh, boy.
So then I called them on the phone.
There you go. The old-fashioned way. You talk to a human.
Well, that was even worse. he wanted to remote to my computer.
What? Now, that sounds like you might have not ended up at the right Amazon, Ellen.
Right, so that's another red flag.
Yeah. I don't think you were at the Amazon you thought you were.
Well, I Googled Amazon customer service.
Did you? Well,
yep.
I think you might not have ended up at the right place. I highly doubt Amazon is going to have a team of experts remoting into your computer to set you
up. Exactly.
So I would try that again and maybe get a little
help. Just go to Amazon.com and look at their menu and you'll find it's there.
Yeah, don't add the customer service piece. Most likely you went to a bad spot on the internet. In the exact example I gave you is about Britney Spears, you found yourself in a dark area of the internet with a bunch of slimy guys.
Just looking for Amazon.
Exactly. Just go to Amazon. All right, Ellen, I got to go. Good luck.
Okay, thanks.
All right, bye-bye. Hey, what are you doing? Is that Matt?